You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number three of the Roto Experts in the Morning. Here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The King, Tony, Corey, myself, Greg. One more hour to go. Old School Fantasy comes your way next. Corey, what's on the program today?
Old School Fantasy today. We're going to look at some of the things that's been going on. Go over some latest news from the spring training. You know what I mean? We'll also get into some other little things that's going on around the world of the Major League Baseball. You know, Josh Hamilton is hitting monstrous home runs again. You know how that goes. You know what I'm saying? Same day, different story.
Is there anything that the Roto World writers or beat writers in Texas can write to make you draft Josh Hamilton?
No.
Okay.
Oh, speaking of Roto World, I read a good one the other day that I wanted to bring up. I'll find it before the program is over. Also, we're going to do a little Rotation Nation. We'll go deep inside the Philadelphia Phillies rotation. You know what I'm saying? Talk about their starters, 1 through 5, how they can help you for fantasy. And then we'll also look at that situation they got in the bullpen with Gomez and Neres. So, you know what I mean? And we got some early fantasy football draft results. So, got a decent program coming up. Make sure you check it out.
It's not a good program. It's just a decent one.
It's decent. You know what I'm saying? I got two guys with me, the King and Blue Line, George Kurtz. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we'll talk about, like, back here.
It's not a great show, you're saying.
I'm doing the best I can.
It's a Tuesday.
No, I got you. I understand, Tony. I understand. Like, we in the offseason, we read so much...
Well, let me find this one.
We read so much smoke about players. Josh Hamilton's like an amazing example, right? He's hitting bombs.
He's hitting towering, massive home runs in spring training.
And I saw one for like the Yankees yesterday. Oh, Matt Holliday hit a bomb, and I saw him talking to Aaron Judge. You know what Aaron Judge did? Then he hit a bomb. Like, come on, man.
This is like what you see during the regular season, like when I'm watching batting practice. Like, you talk about a guy who looks good getting to go off the plane is a 5 o'clock hitter. You know, a guy who looks good at 5 o'clock in batting practice, and then once the game starts.
So then are you saying that we should ignore your batting practice reports?
No, I'm saying I'm talking about overall, you know, if Josh Hamilton is doing it in the cage in spring training, it's not a big deal. It's like, you know, doing it in batting practice. Start doing it in games, you know?
Is there anything that can make you draft Josh Hamilton? Scotty.
Late in an AL-only league, maybe? I don't know.
All right. Sounds
funny. Yeah, I'll find out.
So Brandon Finnegan was on my list, guys, of former top prospects that I think the shine just worn off a little bit. Like, we always talk about, like...
Post-hype sleepers. Yeah.
And I don't think I'm going to call these guys that far. Like, I don't think they were high enough sleepers recently to make that list. But they're like post type sleepers almost, in a way. Like, gone but not forgotten type guys. So
where are they now?
they're all still relatively young. That's why.
Where are they now, fantasy baseball?
They're all still pretty young, which is why they have arrived on my list. So Brandon Finnegan was on here, and I'm going to go with another pitcher, young, highish prospect. It wasn't, and I'm not talking about a guy that was like Mike Trout type prospect. Oh, a guy like Jimmy Nelson, for instance. I have drafted Jimmy Nelson every year he's been in the major leagues. I think the streak probably ends this year, but I wanted to throw it to you guys. Jimmy Nelson, Brewers pitcher, always kind of fine. He was a guy I drafted last year. He wasn't dropped and picked up a million times. He was on a team all year. Tony, can you buy any Jimmy Nelson this year?
I'm not a big Jimmy Nelson guy, to tell you the truth. He's not a guy that strikes out people. And I think what we see of Jimmy Nelson is what we're going to get of Jimmy Nelson. This is going to be his fourth year in the league, but he's an older player at 27 years
yep.
of age. His Ks dropped last year to barely over 7. His ERA was 4.62, but the FIP was higher than that. This is a good hitter's ballpark. No, I'm not drafting Jimmy Nelson under any circumstance.
Yeah, I wasn't big on Nelson, you know, when they were saying all these glorious things about him. I was never that impressed. I mean, the K per 9 was, like, pretty good, like, you know, late in his minor league runs. But, you know, once he got to the majors, you know, he became mediocre. You know, Tony went over all the advanced statistics that I would have pointed out.
He was
out.
Almost a one-pitch pitcher last year, you know. He only threw a fastball 70% of the time. That's crazy.
He got destroyed by the home run ball, too.
You can't do that in that ballpark. It's like, I don't want no part of it.
He's somebody that you start. You know what I'm saying? Stack against Jimmy Nelson.
Okay.
He's a dumpster fire.
If Buzz Mesoraco gets one home run this year, he'll hit it off of him.
Jimmy Nelson's not a dumpster fire, dude. He's not as bad as you're making him out to me. He's not.
Look at his second half last season.
It was bad.
You could have did that, Greg. You could have did his second half last season.
I understand.
What's there to like?
I don't think there's anything to like. I don't think he's as bad as you guys make him out to be. That's all.
So what's there to like? You're making it sound like there's something appealing about him.
Well, I think in the first half of the year he wasn't terrible.
No, he wasn't in the first half of the year. You're right.
So
in the first half of the year, his control was on.
If
point.
You explain a player by he isn't terrible, that's enough said.
I didn't say I was going to draft him. I just said he wasn't a dumpster fire, Tony. That's all. That's all I was making fun. There's worse pitchers in Major League Baseball.
He didn't have an 8 ERA.
Yeah. There's worse pitchers. That's all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of better
if that's
ones.
That's
the
qualification. We're in trouble.
Let's see here. In April, his batting average against in April and May was good. It was 209, then 224. That's pretty good. First half, the major league batting average, only 248 against him. Again, that's pretty good. ERA under 4 that first half, pretty good. Second half, we can move on.
Second half was atrocious.
They play a full season, yeah.
Okay.
The second half was atrocious. What, the ERA was what, like 7?
It doesn't matter.
You know what I mean?
It doesn't matter.
The home runs were what, he gave up 19? Yeah. In the second half, something like that. So
13.
Oh, 19 would have been crazy.
He gave up 12 in the first half, 13 in the second half, actually.
And he's
there's an article in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy Nelson climbs mountain, immediately falls off.
Yeah, but you know, he did good like the first 10 steps up the mountain.
He climbed up the mountain. He got to the mountain.
Yeah.
He got a quarter up the mountain. He was okay.
Corey, you have the Roto World update?
I have the Roto World update. This one right here gave me a good crack up over the weekend. Obviously, I'm getting ready for, I'm getting in NFL draft mode, NFL combine.
I'm not doing that, so okay.
I know. Okay. Well, that's not your thing. It's mine. No. Sorry. So, Davis Webb, he's the quarterback for the Cal Golden Bears. It's the name you'll be hearing throughout the course of the next couple of weeks. So, NFL.com's Daniel Jeremiah spoke with an NFL executive who believes Cal's Davis Webb will end up being the top QB in the 2017 class. That is the dog.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
The Roto World spin. We've made it here, and it's only mid-February. Webb played one season at Cal after transferring from Texas Tech, playing in a similar Bear Raid offense as Jared Goff, last year's number one pick. Webb has a strong arm. We've concluded the positive portion of this evaluation. They're really taking their analysis to the next level. You know what I'm saying? Like, was that all that necessary?
That was funny.
Never is, but hey, some people like it.
You don't like that, do you, Scott?
Yeah, I love it.
That was funny, though.
Yeah, it was funny.
Let me get to Arizona, guys. You talk about prospects for the shine. You guys all know where we're going to go with this. Arizona had all these young pitchers that had a ton of shine on them. And not where are they now, but where is their value now? And I'll start with a guy that's still in Arizona, in Patrick Corbin. Now, Corbin's had some injury issues, came back, proved his health, but never has looked the same, really, as he did when he first arrived. Does Patrick Corbin, Corey, have the ability to come back from a shaky year last year where he finished with an ERA over 5? He finished 5-13. Now, the year before that, he had the 3.60 ERA, but he saw the K-9 ratio go down, the walk-to-9 ratio go up. It was a bad year last year after having a good year back in 2013, the last time he was healthy.
And that's the thing. As he continues, we need to see what he's like on the field if health is key to him. Remember, before the injury, I mean, this is a guy with a ERA under 3.5, 178 Ks, and, you know, in over 200 innings. But then since after the surgery, we've seen a constant dip in his production. He's another just a guy. I would take a shot on him before I do.
Might as
a
Jimmy? Dude.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before I do like a Jimmy or Finnegan. He can be a decent fantasy option. Obviously, the ballpark doesn't do him any favors. But I think he's going to, he'll be in the competition for one of those last spots in the rotation. So he's a player I would monitor, but the ratios look horrific. So I'm not really in on him, per se. Patrick Corbin, health is key. He's a watch list guy for me.
Scotty.
Oh, he's got a good four-pitch arsenal. You know, throws two different types of fastballs. Got a pretty good slider and a pretty good change. But, you know, we just haven't seen the same form. I remember when he came up in 2013, he was just – he was freezing guys. And, you know, he just hasn't looked the same as that. And, you know, the K per nine was only 7.57 last year. The ERA was 5.15. The whip was just 5.84. But like Corey says, the ballpark doesn't do him any favors. I haven't seen the former 2013, so I'm probably going to pass.
Okay, Tone?
You know, I don't see many numbers that are different. Now, 2015, he had 8.26, 7.57, so it's not that big of a difference.
Right.
But I go to swinging strike rate, right? And swing and misses, it's very similar to the years he was good, too. So I think this guy has a shot. I don't think I would draft him unless I was in a deeper league.
Okay.
But he'd be a guy I'd be watching. He'd be a guy I'd be watching. Because the other part is that ballpark is very good offensive ballpark.
Yep.
As well, and not forgiving there. And then you go to Colorado as well, playing that division nine times a year. He's not a guy I'm going to draft, but he's a guy that I think could be on your roster by season's end. I mean, the swing and strike rate last year was 9.5%. In 2013, it was 10%. So it's not a huge difference here.
It's not far off from when he was good, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
Our friend the mailman, Ron Cafferty, on Twitter says, did Greg Sussman say he drafted Jimmy Nelson every year? I'm so glad he's in the Greenwich Street Tavern League. I take any Arizona pitcher over Jimmy Nelson.
Well, I'm paired with Nando, so we'll have Don Mesoraco and Jimmy Nelson on our team. So
oh, how about
so
that?
I'm excited for that.
There you go.
I didn't know y'all had a partnership, you and Nando, for that.
We have agreed on a partnership.
Nice.
For that, yeah. So the other Arizona pitcher, former Arizona pitcher, I should say, for the second one I want to bring up, is the one we talked about before, and that's Trevor Bauer, right, with Cleveland. Trevor Bauer's a name that we've heard about forever. And he was a guy I picked up last year, did not make the rotation at spring training, basically immediately entered it due to an injury, stayed in it for most of the year. Now, he finished with over 4 ERA, basically what he's done his entire career, finished 12-8. Strikeout, the K-9 rate was down, lowest than it has been really his entire career, slightly under 8. FIP was pretty good, actually, at 3.99, significantly a little bit under that ERA. Trevor Bauer, Tony, kind of interests you in him?
No. This is a guy that I think, you've talked about picking up and dropping a guy.
Yes.
This is a guy that I think the last couple seasons, probably the most picked up and dropped pitcher in baseball. And I just never see any improvement from this guy. This guy was a top prospect, like you outlined, in Arizona. But I have seen nothing. He's only 26 years of age. He's the same pitcher as when he came up.
Yep.
His K per nine is dropping. His ERA is going to be right around that 4.5. But everything's the same. I don't see any improvement.
So that's why I'm out on Trevor Bauer as well, because we kept waiting for this guy to, like, quote-unquote, get it, right? Like, put it all together. And as he has grown, nothing's changed. And that's what scares me about Trevor Bauer, is he hasn't grown as a pitcher in any way. And for those reasons, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm not in on him either. You know, you guys already went over, you know, some of the peripherals. You know, command has sometimes been an issue for him. You know, playing on the Indians, he's going to get some wins, but there's nothing in the advanced statistics that's, you know, overly impressive to me.
He has stretches where he'll put together a couple of good starts. If you can guess that, then you deserve
right.
to win. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
So another guy that pick up, drop, nothing, not drafting. Okay. Let me get to the third former Arizona Diamondback then. And that's Tyler Skaggs. Skaggs came back last year from the injury, and he was pitching lights out in the minors. I was like, you know what? I remember Tyler Skaggs back in the Diamondbacks. Like, I'm not going to buy into this. And came out and pitched pretty well his first couple starts. Now, finished with an ERA over 4, 3-4, only pitched in 10 games last year. Strike K-9 ratio was a little bit lower than obviously it was in AAA, but much, much higher than it was back in 2014. It went from 6.85 up to 9, back to really higher than we've ever seen it when he was in the major leagues. Now, that 9 is encouraging to me. Skaggs, a year following that Tommy John surgery, he may have the most potential out of all of these guys. Scott, what say you on Tyler Skaggs?
Yeah, the velocity came back last year. It was almost 93 miles an hour on the fastball and 92.3 on the four-seamer. And, you know, he's got a good curve, you know, which has stayed about the same in velocity. He's got a changeup. He mixes it up well. He's starting to regain the form. So I think I'm in on taking a flyer on him late.
Yeah, I think I agree with Scotty.
This is the one.
This is the guy right here that just says, okay, wait a minute, something could be brewing right here. Coming back, beginning to get more healthy after Tommy John surgery. Saw some flashes at times last season. Tyler Skaggs is a guy, Greg, that can be a bargain on draft day.
Tone?
I agree with everybody else. This is a guy that throws the ball hard. He has a strikeout potential. This kid was going to be a stud at 19 years old in Arizona.
Yep.
He hasn't delivered injuries there, and I think at 25 years of age, he's just coming into his own. He's a first-round pick. This is a guy that can play.
He already had Tommy John. He had some elbow tightness down the stretch last season. He was spared, you know what I'm saying? So health is key. If he can stay healthy, he can give you some decent stuff, and nobody in your league is going to be on him. Unless, like, one of us is in your league.
Yeah,
then it's like...
Of course. All right, those are the...
defeats the purpose, then. Those He's going to be a hot player in the Greenwich Street Tavern League.
He's going to get high.
Good thing it's isn't a snake town auction.
It's a snake draft.
It's a snake, so there's no bidding.
Yeah.
Don't confuse me, Scott. I'm a rookie in the GST.
Trying to throw you off.
You are. It's working. Yeah. All right, those are some of the pitchers here.
Up Jimmy Nelson.
That are young. No, Jimmy Nelson. That are younger. That I want to know where their value is. Let me talk about some of the hitters on the other side. That includes two guys on the Rangers and one on the Pirates. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning continues right after this. So those are some of the pitchers that former top prospects, guys, you may have forgotten about a little bit. And clearly all of them are irrelevant except for Tyler Skaggs, so that's good to know. So let's talk about some of the hitters that are kind of on the same track, same vein a little bit. And let's start in Texas, where there's two guys that perennially are these big-time prospects that haven't really done too much. And that's Jurickson Profar and Joey Gallo. Since the signing of Mike Napoli, Jurickson Profar has seemingly been assured a spot, finally a starting position in the outfield. Now, we know that Jeff Banister loves playing guys like Ryan Ruel a lot, and Shinsu Chu will also see some time in the outfield as well. But it looks like Jurickson Profar has been given an opportunity to start every day. Does this... I know this makes you more interested, Tony, but how much more interested does it make you?
Well... as long as he gets through spring training and shows that he's going to be the starting outfielder and he hangs on to that job and doesn't give it back during spring training or all of a sudden they're not trying to get somebody else in the lineup, I think this kid absolutely is a guy you're going to put on your roster late in the draft. He's only 24 years of age. We see it all the time where these guys just don't play well. Then they get an opportunity to play every day. We're talking about a guy that can steal double-digit home runs, double-digit stolen bases, probably hit 250. I would love to have him on my team as my fifth outfielder.
Scotty?
Yeah, you know, there's something to be said for what he can give you a provide. You know, if he hits his upside, maybe he hits a little bit above a 250, he's got the potential to get a dozen stolen bases, a dozen home runs, or like a 12-10 type of guy. It's certainly, you know, when you're looking late for that, you know, that spot, go ahead and take a flyer.
Corey, this is a guy that back in 2011 and 12, I mean, he was arguably the top prospect in baseball. I know Tony said, hey, I'd love to have him as my fifth outfielder. But does he have the ability to, I guess, reclaim that glory a little bit, to, like, really have a big year, to be a 2020 type of player? Is that still possible for Jurickson Profar? I mean, you know, he's only 24 years old.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it.
His birthday yesterday. Happy birthday.
Oh, congratulations, Jurickson. The shoulder injury from earlier in his career has really, like, limited his expectations moving forward. Still a young player, but I got to go and start and lock and step with the fellas here. I think this is a guy who is a late-round flyer that could possibly hit on draft day as long as he gets the playing time. I think the playing time is going to be key. And right now it seems like a road has been built for him to get into the lineup. So, yeah, it's a late-round flyer. Big league offense and that they have in Texas, he's a late-round flyer.
So nothing for you. So nobody really thinks that he has the ability to
He's not a breakout candidate.
Not a break. No one.
But look, there's something to be said when you're later in your draft and you need a solid middle infield option.
Who's going to play? Who's going to give you a lot of position flexibility for you too late in the draft as well?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So, but you don't think he has the ability to really truly break out? We're past that. We're done with that.
He's 20. He's 20. He's 24 years old.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Scott got back here. Is 24 years old.
Yeah.
So you
know, actually older than that.
so you know, Profar still. This is a important season for Mr. Profar.
I like it. I guess I'm a little higher on him than you guys are, but that's okay.
Somebody sent me a message.
What about his teammate Joey Gallo? Now Gallo, it seems like he's going to start in the minors maybe again. It looks like. He's not going to be first base, and Mike Napoli being there now, Shinsu Chu going to get a lot of time at DH. So they said Gallo's going to go back to just playing third base again. And obviously, Adrian Beltre is there, which leads no spot here for Joey Gallo. Now, Gallo, every time he gets an opportunity in the majors, all he does is strike out, and he strikes out, and he strikes out, and he strikes out. Any interest in Joey Gallo, Tony?
Zero. All he does in the minors is strike out, too. You look at it, he hits for power, but he strike out on the minor league level 33%, 39%,
36%. It's insane.
That's not going to ever make it. Yeah, it's never going to make it in the majors.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know,
it's a quad A player.
He makes Chris Carter look like a batting champ when he gets to the majors. You know, it's like his career strikeout rate, majors and minors combined, is 49.7%.
It's awful.
Yo, last season in the majors, it was 63.
Yeah.
It's 17 games, but it's still amusing.
But still, it's crazy. Yeah. I can do that.
Like, if that was a little kid, right, he'd be very discouraged and not want to play baseball anymore.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
They got to bring a tee out for Joey Gallo.
Have to buy him an ice cream after the game.
He's like, come here, Joey. Sit down.
Don't worry, Joey. Have an ice cream, Joey.
Do they have a team ophthalmologist? Has anybody checked his prescription?
Hey, they go to a pizza party. Come on, Joey. Don't worry about it. Everybody's not the same.
The third
participation trophy.
The third hitting prospect here on my list is the Pittsburgh Pirates' Josh Bell. Now, Bell is when the 20th round of labor. He's somebody that, again, was a top prospect. I feel like, you know, no one's really talking about him anymore. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But he's 24 years old. He turned 25 in August. So he's not, like, super young or anything like that. Played 45 games with Pittsburgh last year, 3 home runs. OBP was 368. Average was 273. It looks like, finally, he's going to be given an opportunity to play every day as well. Can I interest you, Scotty, in Josh Bell?
Well, I think there's some minor power potential there. I mean, he's not a good defensive player. You know, he's not very athletic, but, you know, they're giving him the chance. You know, last year at AAA in 114 games, he did hit 14 homers, and he hit .295. You know, the strikeout rate has not been exorbitant. You know, he's had good on-base percentages, you know, so... Yeah, this is somebody later on where I'll take a corner infield crack, especially in an OBP league.
Tone?
I think he's rosterable. I think the expectations are very limited. I think he's going to be, like Scott said, a corner infielder. I think he can maintain that job all season long and give you, in a deeper league, he'd be a solid player. I don't think he's going to be anything over the top.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. This is a player too. That I think is rosterable in young Mr. Bell right here. He has an exciting bat. But he's got to get healthy. You know what I'm saying? He's still struggling with a knee situation last night and currently and in spring training. He's hitting off a tee, much like Joey Gallo needs to. But he's hitting off a tee in order to get healthy. Well, Joey Gallo hits off a tee because he can't. You know,
I can also see. I can also see like
he's
feel like Clint Hurdle.
Trainer.
I feel like Clint Hurdle likes to play his bench guys a lot. Like, I feel like John Jaso is also going to play every day, right? Like, I know Josh Bell is the first baseman, but it wouldn't shock me to see John Jaso get way too much time here.
Yeah.
I actually drafted
Jaso?
Jaso in the 48th round just saying, you know what? There's a chance this guy could get some at-bats.
Yep, and I totally agree with that mindset, Tony. I have no issue with that whatsoever. All right, so Josh Bell. So it sounds like a lot of these guys on this list, these post-post hype guys, everyone's kind of like meh on.
But we like Josh Bell.
Well,
You don't love Josh
Bell. We like Tyler Skaggs.
That's the only one. You like Skaggs.
We like Skaggs, and we can get him. We can get him. I'm about to say we can get him bad with Bell.
We're okay on Profar.
We can get involved with Bell.
But you don't expect me to be high on Profar.
No.
Yep.
The problem with Bell is really when you look at it, what is he going to give you?
Yeah.
What can he give me? He's going to give me double-digit home runs. He plays in a tough pitcher's ballpark. He does have some outfield eligibility, but first base is a place that we look for power. And he's gonna hit 12 home runs at best.
Yeah,
it's like if you waited towards the end of your draft and you need a corner infielder and somebody's not gonna hurt you, like 275 with like 15 home runs and 5 steals.
But the thing is, and Tony's right about this. I'm gonna try to take someone with more upside at the end of my draft.
Yeah, like Mesoraco.
This dude has a decent bat, though. You know what I'm saying?
It's fine.
He has a decent bat.
It's fine.
Looking at his numbers, he has a decent bat. You
in
know,
an OBP league, power. Though, he'll help my OBP overall. That's the
thing. Would you rather
he doesn't have power?
Would you rather own Josh Bell or Lucas Duda?
Lucas Duda.
Yeah, I agree.
Like he'll like double his home runs.
I agree. Lucas Duda, by the way, picks 5 rounds later in labor. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then Josh Bell?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes.
How?
What are you asking
me
for?
Know why it is. People like Josh Bell. Like he's one of the hot names. Like
yeah,
the young players, and people get tired of Lucas Duda. Like. He has a stigma about him. He's always hurt. Well, he hit 30 home runs despite being hurt.
I'm totally with you.
I don't get that.
I agree. That's why I threw it out there. There are 3 more names on this list. They're not hitters, but we can go through them. One of them is the legit post-type sleeper. He's not at the post-post type yet. He's the post-type sleeper. And I'm assuming Don is on this guy, too. Jose Berríos.
Yeah, how do you know that?
Oh, he is.
Because it's the standard guy he would be on, right? Like... Had a brutal year last year. It was everyone's favorite pitcher. Everyone drafted him, myself included. And he stunk.
Me too.
And he was absolutely atrocious. Can he rebound this year, Tone?
He can. Do I expect it? No. Will I take a late round flyer on him? Yes. We're talking about the guy that had huge. I mean, this is a guy that was striking out a guy per inning.
Yeah.
Right in the minors, he didn't walk anyone. He comes to the majors, he starts walking people. Like, that wasn't part of his game. Like, it was crazy. It was almost like this guy was nervous and he was afraid to pitch in the majors. And so I look at that, and it's easy correctable. All you have to do is go out there with some confidence, and he's going to be a decent pitcher. But I think he could be better than that. I'm taking a late-round flyer on this guy again. Everything here is good. I mean, this guy strikes people out. He doesn't walk people. I don't know what there's not to like about this kid.
Yeah, Berríos, all the minor league numbers have pointed, you know, to him possibly being dominant. And sometimes when young pitchers come up, the first thing that deserts them is the command, you know, especially if, you know, their you know, mentality is an issue there.
Yeah, so as soon as he got up to the big league, he started walking people. Like the wild thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, as soon as he got up to the big leagues, he started putting people on base. That's not going to help. You think he starts the season in the rotation, or you think he needs to get a little bit of Triple-A in him before he comes up?
It depends a lot on spring training, I think.
Yeah.
Spring training is going to tell us a lot. By the way, I wanted to ask you guys a question about Joey Gallo. Do you think Jared Weaver could strike out Joey Gallo?
I don't.
Yes.
I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
No. He'll whiff on an 83-mile-an-hour fastball.
That's the thing. I don't think he would do that. I think he would make contact there.
If he can't, he really needs to have...
He might foul it off.
He might have to really bring a tee to the plate with him.
He might foul it off. Yeah. See those commercials about swing trainers all the time? Like, no, there's nobody...
You remember how much
Joey.
Of a big deal Fred we
McGriff.
Made over Joey Gallo? A couple years ago, when we was on Sirius
XM. Oh, yeah, all these guys.
Yeah, we was, put the like audio people. On Twitter. And the dude struck out 70% of the times.
Put the audio on Twitter.
Yeah. I never got the Joey Gallo. I never got the whole thing with Joey Gallo. Like, I would look at the numbers and see those strikeout tolls, and I would be like, what do people think he's going to do when he gets to the majors? Like, this is going to be crazy. Like, the best he could be would be Adam Dunn. Mm. That's the best.
Yeah.
That's the ceiling, yeah.
He makes Dunn look like Wade Boggs.
Yeah. All right. 2 more guys. One we talked about last week and one I haven't spoken about yet. Dylan Bundy, we mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago when I was here. Bundy's a guy, former top prospect. People liked him in the second half of last year. You guys all chose Kevin Gausman over Bundy when we spoke about it. Anything change on Bundy since we last spoke?
No, but he's coming along. I mean, it was one thing to compare to Gausman, but, you know, we did see some advancement last year. I mean, he, you know, he pitched respectably at the major league level last year. And, you know, this is a guy that, you know, deep in your rotation. Of course, the ballpark, like Corey said, is not going to do him any favors. And it's, he's seemingly been a prospect forever. But you know, let's remember, you know, this guy is only 24 years old, so he can still improve.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the hard part, believe it. He feels like he's been around forever.
Yeah.
24. Yep. I think the kid's pretty good. I think he's going to strike out. He can get some strikeouts from him. You know, last year was 8.53. The walk total will come down a little bit. But the bottom line is, at the season end, he's still going to have a 4 ERA pitching in Baltimore.
Okay. Last one on the list, and I will start with you here then, Corey. It's Joe Musgrove in Houston, who came up last season. It was pretty good, right? Like Musgrove, he didn't have the monster hype as some of these other guys. But Musgrove came up there at 24 years old. Or 23 years old, really, at the time. And he came up and he pitched pretty well. Now, he started 10 games for the team, wound up with a K per 9, just under 8. ERA finished over 4. The FIP was a little worse than that. Any interest in Joe Musgrove?
If he gets a spot in the rotation, I think his stuff dictates that he could be a late-round flyer, but you want a situation you want to monitor in spring training if he gets a shot to come up with the big ball club, which we think he will. So other than that, you know what I mean, another decent strikeout pitcher, fastball in the low 90s. So he's a guy that's really, for the most part, I haven't seen. Is he going undrafted?
Is he going undrafted? In labor, he went to 26th.
Okay, he went to 26th in labor. So, yeah, that's about right. Late-round flyer guy. If he makes the rotation, he could have some he could do a little bit of damage for you, but it's nothing really in his arsenal that makes him a must-fantasy add. The K to 9's almost approaching 8, which is good, you know what I mean? But I still think you want to see some more here.
Tony?
Yeah, this guy's rosterable. I got a little concerned about innings, how many innings they'll let him pitch. So okay. I don't think he makes the rotation start in the year. And he'll strike out eight per 9. It would be the best there. Last year, when the little sample size, 249 batting average against. That's playable. He's all right. I mean, he's not a guy that I would target. He throws a bunch of pitches, too.
Scotty.
Yeah, I kind of like the guy who's a late flyer. That Tony was talking the batting average against. It was just 229 in September. You know, and then he had a high K rate, you know, at double A last year, at high A the year before. You know, I believe there's some potential for this kid. I'll take a flyer.
Okay, there you have it. Those are some of the post hype guys that I brought up and I kind of liked, but I no longer like. So appreciate it, everybody.
We like Tyler Skaggs.
Yeah, he's on the list.
I take a flyer on Musgrove.
I know he's on my list too, and Profar's on the list. And Profar made my list also.
Yeah,
nobody else made Final Cut. No, Josh Bell didn't make my list.
He didn't make your list?
Didn't make the list. Right. Not high enough. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion from yesterday, which was the All Stars of yesteryear. What are their value now? Where are they now? The all-stars of yesteryear. We talk about that next here on the Roto Experts. Those are the young guys. The young guns. Not like this year's young guns, but last year's young guns. I wanted to actually go through my computer and find out who was on my list from last year.
Are you that well organized?
Well, I'd like to think I am. I'd like to. Let's see if I can find this. I have like a sleeper list every year. Do you not do that? Like a quote unquote sleeper list?
No.
No.
It's all in my brain.
Really? Here we go. I have it. Let's see if it's updated.
Oh, okay.
I had a lot of guys on the list last year that I wanted to draft. Not just sleepers. They are just guys that come to my mind. Here's the guys that were on the list last year for me. Jacoby Ellsbury sucked. Mitch Moreland sucked. Rougned Odor, excellent. Randall Grichuk,
No, it was decent.
Steven Piscotty,
good.
Fine. I didn't get all these guys on the list. Drew Smyly, it was fine. Luis Severino, ugh. Yasmani Tomas. Aaron Nola. Ooh. Kevin Gausman. CJ Krohn. Matt Holliday. Justin Verlander. Oh my God. John Neese, Byung-ho Park.
John Neese?
Yes.
What? You was listening to something Ronan said, must be.
He might have been. Pittsburgh.
It was a Pittsburgh
thing. He went to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all fell to Ray Sirius.
That was it. Oh, this gets really funny here. Byung Ho Park. Andrew Haney, who got hurt.
Why is Scott Michael?
Why do you ask me these questions?
So many people were in on Haney.
Chris Medlin. That didn't work out great. Yeah. Carlos Santana, who I liked a lot.
Yeah.
Kenta Maeda, who I liked a lot. And then my prospect list is even funnier. Oh, my God. Jose Berríos.
Oh, boy.
Tyler Glasnow, who at least was good when he came up. Orlando Arcia. Lucas Giolito. Blake Snell. Joey Gallo. Hector Oliveira. This is before the domestic violence.
Glasnow was good.
Wasn't he? He wasn't terrible, right?
He walked a lot of guys.
All right. And then Jesse Winker. Who, I'm going to be honest with you, I still don't know who that is. Who is Jesse Winker?
Oh,
and why was he on my list?
About Jesse
Winker. He's on the Braves? The Reds? He's on the Reds.
Jesse Winker was in Tout Wars.
Jesse Winker is a Reds pitcher who last year, is a hitter? No, he's a hitter. Sorry. Jesse Winker is a hitter. I didn't see, he was on my list. It must be a Ronis thing also. I just put Jesse Winker on my list. He's a left-handed hitter. A former first-round pick of the Reds. He's an outfielder. He played 106 games in AAA last year. He's coming back from an injury. Had 3 home runs and 45 ribbies. And he batted .303. Okay. OBP was .397. Put Jesse Winker on the list.
I don't know what you're going to do with this, Greg.
All right, man. I'm telling you. Jesse Winker.
Jesse Winker.
You heard it here first.
Who are your sleepers?
That was from last year. According to CBS Sports,
any sleepers?
No.
Last year?
No, not yet. I haven't put together my sleeper this year.
That was from last year. He has according to Brian Price, there's an uphill battle of Jesse Winker making the opening day roster. Brian Price says, quote, I'd like Jesse and anyone that is close to or ready for big leagues to press us to make a decision late in camp, keep themselves in camp as long as possible. Things happen, you can't ignore performance. He's slated to go back to AAA, where he can play every day, and it's unlikely he'll stick with the big league club unless he beats out Scott Schebler.
Right. When you're in a position battle with Scott Schebler.
You wait till June when Jesse Winker comes up and dominates the sport.
Scott Schebler.
Gonna throw a no-hitter punctuated by 3 home runs from Devin Mesoraco.
He's a hitter. He's an outfielder, Scott.
Yeah, Scott Jesse Winker's an outfielder.
Hey, come on. He said he has beat out Scott Schebler.
He's in competition with Scott Schebler. Schebler.
Winker and Mesoraco hit back-to-back.
There you go. All right. One of the guys that are on my list is a former All-Star. I want to know his value this year. I want to start with Ucor, Matt Holliday, the Yankee, who's hitting bombs right now in spring training.
Well, there you go right there. He's hitting bombs in spring training. His ADP is going to start to go up. Talking about a renaissance to his 30 home run days. No, but honestly speaking, no. If he gets to play DH, keep him a little bit healthier. Hitting in the middle of the order, you know what I'm saying? So late round flyer that I think can pay off is Matt Holliday.
So you're in.
I'm in on Matt Holliday.
Tony.
I'm in too. I think he can hit 30 home runs in that ballpark, getting out of St. Louis, coming over to the American League. He'll get some time at DH possibly too to save him some wear and tear. I like him a lot. I would like to get him in some draft.
Yeah, me too.
So I should put him on the list for this year. But put him back on the list.
Put him on your list like back you had him last year, man. Yeah. Holliday.
You're just a year late. That's it.
What do you think, Scotty?
He's old. Still
hitting the ball in the air. Hard hit rate was very good last year. I don't think he'll hit for a high average, you know, maybe 255, 260. But he'll give you 25 home runs. And he could even play some right field if Aaron Judge doesn't work out.
Well, I also forget to remember Aaron Hicks is there as well, who for some reason they still like. Yeah. All right, Matt Holliday, you just made the list. So that leads me to...
That's the man.
You just led me to somebody that you talked about earlier on in the show, Tony, is somebody that you draft Cameron Rupp, you can't wind up with a guy like Victor Martinez. That was your quote, Tony. Now, Victor Martinez, another older guy, another former All-Star. I'd like to get your thoughts, Mr. Cincata, on Victor Martinez.
I would love to know this guy's pharmacist because I don't know how he keeps going. This is amazing, right? This is a guy
38.
That was a catcher in Major League. 38 years old. He had knee issues, couldn't catch anymore. It just continues to pound baseballs all around Major League Baseball. I will take this guy. I start looking about round 10. at this player. He's going to hit 20 home runs. He has a good batting average. Now, you don't. He's only utility eligible, so you got to keep that in the mind. So don't think that you can get this guy and use him as catcher anymore, because that's not where you can use him. And I like him a lot. I think he hits. He had 27 last year. I would, if I drafted him, I would pencil him in his 23 home runs. I would pencil in 275 batting average. I think he has the opportunity for 90 RBIs, and I think he can get 65 runs scored.
I like Victor Martinez, too. I know he's 38 years old, but it's really showed no signs of slowing down. He played 154 games last year.
Yeah, his hard hit rate was about 8 percentage points, you know, above his career norm. You know, you're still going to get a guy who can hit 275 and at least 25 homers.
Yeah. 280, 23, 25, 26, 27. The only thing
went up. It kept going up.
The only thing, excuse me, the only thing is, you know, the util. You know what I'm saying?
That doesn't really bother me. It's not a thing that bothers me.
That's, you know, that's, and he's 38 years old.
Who would you rather have, Victor Martinez or Matt Holliday?
You asking me?
I go Matt Holliday.
Anybody, really.
Yeah, I give Matt Holliday the slight edge. Scotty,
you don't think Martinez is going to hit for a better average?
He is going to hit for a better average. Yeah. But Holliday could hit 10 more home runs.
I think they'll be about equal in home runs. I'm going to take for Martinez.
Victor Martinez in labor goes in the 13th round. My man Matt Holliday, he went in the 20th.
Yeah.
Seven rounds later.
Take Matt Holliday.
It's a big deal. All right, so the veterans, people are liking the veterans more than the young guys. Okay.
Because we've seen them do it before. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Look at what you just laid out, though. The perception of Holliday makes him such a value.
Yes, he does. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, continuing on here, let me get to the big man. Another former catcher. A big guy. Pablo Sandoval. Best shape of his life. Lost 40 pounds.
He's always in the best shape of his
life. Lost 40 pounds. The Red Sox believe in him. They've given him the third base job back. Do we believe in him?
I'm going to say for about 275 and 15 home runs, yeah. You know, why the heck not? He's come to camp in great shape, very motivated, wants to put the bad narratives behind him, plays on a good ball club, a winning ball club. I think he's got nowhere to go but back up. I'm okay with it for like 275 and 15 home runs.
I'm still going to watch the situation. Earlier this week, the manager said that he's still going to have to compete with
That's a BS competition.
But you wait a minute. You act like Pablo Sandoval is, you know what I'm saying?
I think they're going to give him the job. I think they traded away his competition, his main competition here. I think they want Pablo Sandoval to win the competition, which makes it a BS competition.
They want him to win it, but, you know, listen, still, Farrell still said that he won't be handed the job. He'll have to compete, but we do expect him to end up being the winner. I just can't get on board with this dude, to be honest with you. He's just a disappointment.
Tell him.
He's a late round flyer. I think he's a 250 batter. If he could play the whole season, he's going to get you 15, 16 home runs. We talk about there's 111 guys that hit 20 home runs last year.
Yep.
So he's coming up short there. I just think there's limited upside.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking very late. You know, maybe you want to, you know, get a little bit of respectability. The guy who really they want at third base, Rafael Devers, is at least a year away.
Let me get to...
What about Brock Holt, though?
Brock Holt player.
I'm looking at him more like a utility guy.
Yeah, he's a super utility guy. All right, last guy for today. He is another former catcher. This is how we see what we're doing here, flowing. Another former catcher, and that's Joe Mauer. Now, Joe Mauer, in his heyday, I never drafted him. Like, I know Scotty never drafts Buster Posey. I like Buster Posey. I wasn't a Joe Mauer guy because he didn't do enough. Like, I know that he had the one year where he had the home runs, but besides that, like, he was an average guy, and I just didn't get behind it. Since then, Joe Mauer plays first base for the Twinkies and, you know, has a good average. Although last year was 261, and the year before that was 265. He has a perception of having a good average. He doesn't run. The stats the last 3 years basically the same, and that's not very good. Is there any reason to draft Joe Mauer, Scott?
If you waited till like the final round and you still need to fill a corner infield spot, it'll give you 270 and 10 home runs.
Tony?
No. I mean, you're looking at this guy with the batting average has even slipped, right? You talked about it.
It's perception.
Oh, my God, it was a batting title guy.
Right.
And now he's just a double-digit home runs. There's just nothing here.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with the gentleman. It's really keep it moving. Nothing to see here. Days are well best days are well past him. He's trying to lessen his workload to keep him healthier. So he's beat up. He's washed up.
Final break coming. When we come back, we will wrap up the show and send you in old school fantasy. We do it next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Final couple of minutes here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. And I wanted to wrap up talking a little basketball with you. The trade deadline just 2 days away. Of course, the big shoe drop, probably the biggest shoe I would think, dropped yesterday and late Sunday night with the DeMarcus Cousins trade. We saw the fallout, of course, yesterday throughout the day. Now, trade deadline is on Thursday here with the NBA. Tony, do you expect any more monster shoes to drop?
I don't, but the one name that I guess we'll be looking for is Jimmy Butler. Looks like Chicago shopping him around. The Celtics, again, won't give up the Brooklyn Nets draft pick, and that's where a lot of teams want with the Celtics.
Yeah, and it seems like every trade rumor I read, like somehow the Celtics are like linked to just about every player, but you know, except for Carmelo Anthony and Derrick Rose, but you know, they won't give up that pick, so it makes it kind of dicey. You know, Carmelo's probably going to stay put because, you know, he's dug in his heels, but you know, Derrick Rose could be gone.
Yeah, you know, Derrick Rose seems to be someone that people actually want, which is kind of crazy to me. Yeah. I don't know what the Knicks are going to do. I don't think they can do anything because they kind of stink. I think, once again, for the, umpteenth consecutive year, Tony, everyone kind of circles Boston because they have the assets, they have the contracts, they have the draft picks. They have so much that you're able to trade away. So I think everyone circles Boston, but I don't know if Danny Ainge pulls the trigger here.
No, I don't think so either. I think he wants to keep the young players there, and it's kind of crazy to me, and they're not going to go for it. Either he respects Cleveland or Golden State so much that they're not going to make a move for this year.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're probably right on that. He respects it too much. This isn't the year he's going to do it. I read the Jimmy Butler thing as well. I don't think Jimmy Butler winds up leaving Chicago. I think he winds up staying. I think the move they would have made was the Jimmy Butler Chris Dunn thing that we saw back on draft night, which didn't happen. I think Butler winds up staying in Chicago.
What I've read, you know, the deal would make a lot of sense, you know, defensively and offensively for the Celtics. And, you know, the Bulls pretty much got to build for the future, don't they?
You would think so,
yeah.
Tearing it down like we saw Sacramento do. But as Tony said, it's a stranglehold on that Nets pick, which very well could be the first overall pick in the draft. And if you're the Celtics, like, how do you give that up? I mean, you give it up if you know you're getting a championship piece. Is Jimmy Butler the championship piece? That's my question, Tony.
No, because they're still short. I mean, when you have LeBron, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving, the Celtics don't measure up to that. Even with Jimmy Butler, you'll have Isaiah Thomas, and then you'll have Jimmy Butler, and then they'll be short.
Yeah, they'll be able to put more pressure on defenses because it's just not about, you know, worrying about Isaiah Thomas, but they're still going to not have enough to contend for a championship.
Yeah, I thought I was going to say anything. No, yeah, I agree with you. I think, not that Jay Crowder is Jimmy Butler because he doesn't score like him, but he's a good defender. I just don't know what Jimmy Butler does for them.
Well, Crowder's a free agent after next season,
okay,
too. So that's a guy that could be out of town. I don't know Butler's contract status. I would have to look that up there to see what we're going to do with him going forward. Jimmy Butler's contract. Jake Crowder's a guy I think on the open market is going to end up getting overpaid.
Totally.
See it all the time.
Totally.
Oh, see, Jimmy Butler's going to command a big money because he's got a very friendly contract for people out there. So for a superstar player, he's making $18 million, which sounds crazy. But we have plenty of guys in the NBA making a lot more than that.
Yeah, obviously. No doubt about that. All right. So Jimmy Butler was the big name, and, of course, the Celtics. Now, two other monster names, not monster names, but the most popular name, I'll say, not big guy, Jahlil Okafor. He's a big guy, but not like a big name. Jahlil Okafor, of course, center for the Sixers, third-string center. Everyone thought he was getting traded last week when literally the Sixers said, listen, we're not playing him because he's going to get traded. And he doesn't go to New Orleans. He doesn't go to Portland. Those are the two teams that really were looking at him. He goes to neither spot. Ultimately, do you think Jahlil Okafor gets traded?
I do. I think he absolutely has. They have to make a trade. They have too many guys in that front court, and they don't even have Simmons playing. I don't think Simmons will play this year. I think he'll be back next year.
I agree.
They got to make a move. They have to make a move. If a team's desperate for a big man there, but I guess they can wait to the offseason, then they'll have all the teams in, as opposed to some teams right now are in the dumping phase, and some teams are trying to win.
I agree. Scott, do you think Jahlil Okafor gets traded?
Yeah, I even read something, that Boston – it's another player they were linked to.
Of course.
But, he's not a great rebounder, but, somebody could use a big body in the front court, so I'd see it.
More trade rumors, of course, coming up tomorrow's show. But coming up next, it's Old School Fantasy with Corey Farson, Scott Angle, and George Kurtz. For Scott and Corey, and, of course, Tony Cicada as well, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Eastern.